Transform Your Life with Teresa and Tanya, where we talk weight loss and all things in between.
Ready to transform your journey from bariatric surgery to weight loss to plastic surgery to recovery? POP Recovery Systems is here to guide you every step of the way. With our unique comprehensive support system, we match you with top surgeons, provide customized wellness plans, and offer financing solutions to make your dream a reality. From concierge wellness, mental health to nutrition, our team is dedicated to your success. Don't navigate this path alone. Join POP Recovery Systems and experience a seamless, supported transformation. Visit us at poprecoverysystems.com to learn more and start your journey to a new you.
Let's get ready to talk weight loss and all things in between. I'm Teresa Parent.
And I'm Tanya Spanglow.
Welcome to our podcast. We are so excited. We have a lot to talk about today. We're going to be talking about movement in all shapes and forms. Right, Tanya?
Yeah. You know what I always say? Move that booty, Judy.
Move that booty, Judy. I love it.
I was saying while I'm walking around my island and it was just me, and now I'm live when I walk a lot. And so I always say, move your booty, Judy, whether you want to or not. You know, Teresa, in the beginning, I did not want to get up and exercise. That wasn't me. That was definitely not the old me, and not even the new me after I had weight loss surgery. It was a struggle for me. But now I wake up every day and I can't wait to walk because I can. And so a lot of things for me and movements are just to prove to myself that I can do it. And I know I can. It's something like another obstacle that you can prove to yourself that you can overcome. And I know that walking is a huge part of movement for you and I after weight loss surgery. I do jumping jacks also, because before at 430 pounds, and you guys, Teresa and I have lost a combined of 700 pounds. We've lost almost 700 pounds, right? That's amazing in itself. And to think of us moving our body every day, that is, it's such a, like, we're champions. We're warriors. We've overcome all the things in our life that we thought we could not overcome.
You know, movement is so much more than just about moving your body. It also is a mindset. And I know that for me, starting out at over 600 pounds, my mind was always focused on sitting down. I would be, if I had to stand, I was hyper focused and obsessing on how long it would be until I could get back to my seat. Like, my body was in pain all the time. So I needed to be sitting down. Like, I rarely moved my body. When I talk, I'm sedentary. I was like 24/7 sitting down. I couldn't even sleep in a bed. I had to sleep in a recliner. I maybe walked 100 steps, 200 steps a day on a really, really good day. Movement was really hard for me. I struggled to breathe. I struggled to stand. I struggled to walk at all. Showering was very hard for me. I remember working at the school as a teacher, and I would get bladder infections because I couldn't walk to the bathroom. So I would hold it all day long because moving was that hard for me. And I remember, especially like moving out in public, I would get to the school like an hour before the bell would ring because I wanted to be able to get my body across campus without people seeing me, because I knew that I would be struggling, sweating, breathing, all the things. And so movement for me was something, again, that was involving shame and guilt and embarrassment and fear and anxiety and physical stress and all the things. So when you begin a transformation journey, whether you're having weight loss surgery, natural weight loss, medications, whatever it is, you're going to have so many mental, emotional barriers in addition to the physical barriers. And that's what we want to talk about. Like, we want to go through all of it. We've been there. We've done that. We still are struggling in our own ways. But there's a lot of good people out there who have the experience, who've been through it. And I know for me, it's changed my life. I no longer feel stuck in my body. I no longer feel stuck on the couch. I feel like I can fly. I feel like I can run and I can do all the things. And that is so freeing. I don't know about you, Tanya, but being able to move my body is like the best gift in the world. And like you said, I don't have to do it now. I get to do it. But how do you go from the mindset of feeling like you have to get up and do something to like, I get to do it? How do we flip that narrative in our mind?
For me, it's every single day. Like, it's every single day when you wake up. I think about my old routine that I had that I didn't even realize was a routine. It was a routine that led to being morbidly obese. It was a routine that I never left the recliner. I never left the couch. I never left the bed ever. Like, I would lay there, I would eat, I would watch Netflix. That was my daily routine. And so for me, I pride myself on never wanting to go back to that. I never want to go back to that. But how do you flip it? Like what you're saying, how do you flip it? It's mindset. We've talked about mindset in every episode that we've done so far, because it is a mindset shift. All of these things, your lifestyle change, your nutrition change, your body movement change. It is mindset first. You have to make up your mind that you're not going to be the old you. For me, I have to make up my mind. You know, I started walking a half a mile. I would try to walk a half a mile. I couldn't. My feet would swell out of my shoes. And so I would go to it. Let's do a fourth a mile today, or let's just walk 1,000 steps. And now I'm up to, I do over 10,000 steps today. Sometimes I get 20,000 steps in and I amaze myself. And I think a lot of times on your weight loss journey, like Teresa and I both, we can walk 5 miles now. And before, we couldn't walk 0.5 miles. Like, we couldn't walk a fifth of a mile. And so look at all that we've overcome. You guys can do it as well. You just have to make your mind up. For me, it's about looking inside. It's about looking inside me. And how strong am I going to be today? Am I going to lay around? And I don't like to use the term lazy, but like you're saying, that sedentary lifestyle that we had before. Sedentary is when you have a lifestyle where you sit all day long. You sit, you never move your body. And I count in the beginning, Teresa, honestly, I counted everything. I counted dancing in my kitchen. I counted doing my dishes, doing my laundry. I would sweep the floor. Then I would mop the floor. I would vacuum my rugs. I would clean my bathroom. I would make my bed. I literally counted all of that as body movement, because for people like Teresa and I, we didn't just have 100 pounds to lose. We didn't start out at 200 pounds. We started out, you guys, 400, 500, 600 pounds. You have a ton of weight to lose and it's overwhelming. So if you are where we were, I know how you feel, because I was overwhelmed. I would watch transformation journeys and I would literally just sit and be in tears, because I would be like, that's never going to be me. Like, I wanted it so bad. I dreamt of it. I wanted to go. You know, you see people in the gym and they're working out and they're hardcore. And the gym is supposed to be a non-judgmental place. That is a lie. Like, I went to the gym. I was so judged the second I walked in. You know why? It's embarrassing. I could not step up on the treadmill. The very first time I went to the gym, I couldn't get up on the treadmill. And so that's why now I just do it in the comfort of my own home. It started out as a judgment thing for me. I was so sick of being stared at, because I've been stared at my entire life. But literally, the gym is for people trying to lose weight. It's kind of like you talk about church. Like, people think that church, they're for people who sin. That is not who the church is for. The church is for everybody. Like, everybody in the church is a sinner. Everybody in the gym needs to either lose weight or get healthy. That's why we're in there. But I felt so judged going to the gym. And that's what led me to just work out in the comfort of my own home and just walk and do jumping jacks and do simple. Like, I have a kettlebell, but I don't get it out as often as I should. I have hand weights, but I don't get it out as often as I should. But I have still been successful on my weight loss journey. You don't have to necessarily kill yourself in the gym to be successful, because Teresa and I, neither one of us have done that.
You know, I talk a lot about the beginning of my journey, because I know that that is where a lot of you may be. You may be in the beginning of your journey. You may be in the middle. You may be like Tanya and I, and you're a little bit further along, but everyone has to start somewhere. And for me and for Tanya, I know starting out in the beginning is so difficult, because you are focusing on all the things that are stopping you from living your best life, right? You're focused on how bad your body is hurting. You're focused on the judgment, the embarrassment, being ashamed to be out in public and move your body. So we can relate to that. I tell a story that was one of the most impactful and traumatic experiences that I had as a person who was morbidly obese in public. Now, when you occupy a very large body in our culture, you are made to feel that you are criminalized. You are shown in many ways, whether it's through media, whether it's through the dirty looks or the repulsive looks or the comments, you are shown that we should not be seen, right? You don't want to be seen. You don't want to be heard. And so it's really hard when you feel that you are not welcomed to exist in a public space, which is why Tanya and I both also started out working out in our homes, not only due to the physical limitations, but so much of it has to do with being embarrassed and being ashamed. I was watching one of those shows on TLC, The 1,000-Pound Sisters, and I remember watching her walking. She was trying to go to a water park, and everybody, there was hundreds of people watching her. You know mm-hmm. that's happening. You feel all of the eyes on you. So not only are you struggling to emotionally and physically move your body in public, but you also have to manage knowing that all those people are looking at you and judging you. And one day I was out trying to walk at 600 plus pounds. And I remember I was trying to do something for myself. I had gotten mm-hmm. up the bravery, the courage to even do it. And a young group of men, I live in California, so we have in and out here. These young men drove by me and they started oinking at me and yelling, literally oinking at me. And there was tons of people. I live in LA and there's people everywhere. And these men threw their in and out all over me. Milkshakes hit me, their burgers. And I stood there. Not a single person stopped to help me. No one did. They all were just looking at me. Everyone was looking at me. And I remember it was so hard for me to even get a block. And what that experience did to me was it made me go back in the house. I didn't go back out and try to exercise in public again for a year. Mm. Why? Because of the messages that I was receiving from my environment that I was disgusting and repulsive. And so I find it very hypocritical and difficult to live in a culture that tells you you need to be thin, you need to be fit, you need to be active. But then when a person who is bigger tries to go out and do there, we're shamed, we are ridiculed, and we are mocked. And so for me, I just had to stay in my house and do it. I, like Tanya did, I started to set timers and I made myself stand for a minute at a time. My back was shaking. I didn't think I could do it. Like my knees. And when I would sit back down, I would cry because just the fact of standing for a minute or two was so, so challenging for me that I thought at times I was going to die and have a heart attack. Mm-hmm. It took me time to build up to being able to walk laps across my house. And I remember the first time I was able to go out of my house and walk a block. I was terrified because I knew that I was going to have to come back the two steps up my house. And just the block that I walked, I had to stop at two bus stops, okay, and sit there and breathe. Everyone looking at me. And I knew I had to call someone at my house to meet me at the stairs because I couldn't get my body up those two steps. But after years of living that way and missing out on being able to do everything, like I couldn't get married, I couldn't go to graduations, weddings, birthday parties because I couldn't physically move my body, I started to use that lack, the thing that I was lacking in my life, the social connections, the events, the happiness, the freedom of being present in the moment. I started to use that as my tackling fuel and I didn't give up. I kept going. And I know for you, Tanya, we've talked a lot about our why, right? Mm-hmm. Like my why, you have to like do that soul searching and that self-reflection. My why was because I didn't want to die. I was tired of removing myself from the land of the living, I say. I felt like an empty shell. I was missing out on everything, watching everyone live their life. And I was on the sidelines. And so I used my why to motivate me to continue to stand, to continue to practice walking and moving my body. Was it really hard? Did I want to give up every single day? Sometimes hundreds of times a day? I did, but you can't give up. You have to believe in yourself and you have to keep fighting to save your own life. And that's what we've both done.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Eric Smith, and you may recognize me from TLC's 1,000 Pound Sisters. I got a quick question for you. Are you considering a journey towards a healthier, more confident you? Let me introduce you to Bari Prep and Recover. Not only does our program help you choose the right bariatric surgery and prepare for the procedure, but we also have resources to help make sure it's affordable for anyone seeking this life-changing option. Our comprehensive support doesn't stop there. We're with you every step of the way, guiding your recovery journey. With personalized individual nutritional and mental health coaching, following a program that I helped develop, you'll feel empowered with the tools for lifelong success. Plus, our personal concierge is there to support you throughout the entire process from pre-surgery to post-surgery care. Visit our website at poprecoverysystems.com for more information and take the first step towards a healthier future with Bari Prep and Recover.
That's right. It makes me so sad for you, Teresa, that you went through that. And you've told me that story before. I just want to hug you. Like I'm giving you an air hug right now because that's so sad. But that's what society is. That is the world we live in. You know, let's talk about how the world that we live in is not set up to be morbidly obese. The world does not want you to be morbidly obese, but don't you dare get weight loss surgery to fix that or change that. Don't you dare go to the gym being morbidly obese and try to work on your health and try to get healthier so that you do lose the weight. Like the world, you know, the doctor's office chairs are not set up. I can't tell you how many times I've had to stand at the doctor's office with my kids, and my kids could sit, but I couldn't, because we all know those dang chairs with sides on them. When you are 400 and 500 and 600 pounds, you cannot fit in those chairs. We've all had to wait. I've had to wait after church to fit in a table because I can't fit in a booth. So my family had to wait an hour and a half. People that come in after us, they were getting seated and looking at us like, oh, that's why, because she's so big, she can't fit in a booth. So we got her booth, you know? So the world is not set up for the obese person. It's just not. And that is so sad to me. You know, for me, body movement was, I've walked up bleachers because whenever I was 430 pounds and went to Zach's ball games and went to Kylie's softball games, I couldn't walk up the bleachers. I would have to bring my own supersized, oversized chair to sit in, and all the other moms were sitting in the bleachers, and then there's Tanya in her oversized chair because she can't get up the bleacher steps. Literally, I couldn't get up. And that's so embarrassing for me. Like, I'm not saying that I should have been accepted at 430 pounds. I mean, I needed to work on my health. I wanted to better my health, but I've finally done the work, but I know what it's like. So if you're listening and you are at the weight to where you can't get up the bleachers, or you can't fit in a booth, or you can't fit in the chairs, Trace and I have been there and we've done the work, but how do you make yourself do it? Like, how do you set a goal and then you accomplish that goal? For me, it's just like we said in our mindset episode, your inner fat bee, she is going to come out and she's going to be like, hey, like for me this morning, I got my walk in. I didn't walk as long because I've got things to do today, but I walked some. But that inner fat bee was saying, girl, let's turn the TV on. Let's turn the TV on. Let's eat some donuts. Let's don't walk today. And I'm just like, you shut up. You literally, I bet people in my driveway are looking at me like, who is she talking to? Because there is no one next to her. And I'm literally going like, you shut up, because you were 430 pounds and you didn't think you were worthy and you didn't have confidence. And so we're doing this today. We literally are walking. And even if we lose an ounce or if we lose 2 pounds, a little bit of steps goes a long way, because like Teresa and I both started out, I'm going to get fired up and worked up talking about walking, but we started out, I was at a fourth of a mile. I can walk 5 miles. I'm super proud of that. I can even run. And I know I probably look funny when I do run. My husband's told me, he was like, I don't know what you think you're doing, but that's not running. And I'm like, it's running for me, Bobby, because I can move my body now. And for me, I take such pride in that. Like with my kids, I would watch my kids play. It's such a bittersweet thing for me, because I would watch my kids be on the floor playing, and I wanted to be in the floor playing with them, but I couldn't, because I knew if I got in the floor, I could not get up. And now I can do that with Mila and Everly and Tuff. I literally get in the floor and I will roll around with them, and I bounce up quicker than they do. And for me, that's such an amazing accomplishment. And it's something so small. It's not like I'm out running a marathon, and it's not like I'm out getting all these big muscles and things like that. It's the little things for me. It's the little things, like I can get in the floor and play Barbies with Mila and we can have a good time, or I can lift her up. We have a little game we call Airplane, and I can lay on the floor and I can lift her up with my legs, and she's like, I'm flying, JoJo, I'm flying. I could not do that with my kids. And I don't know why that wasn't enough to make me change, but I finally made the change. And so I just bask in like the glorious moments, like the beautiful moments that I'm building with my grandbabies. And I don't dwell on the fact that, because every once in a while, that negative me tries to take over and make me dwell on the fact of, why weren't you the mom that your kids deserved? Like, why weren't your own kids enough to make you lose the weight? I don't know, but I did. I've done it now, and my now is what matters. Your now is what matters.
You know, I remember weighing 600 pounds, and I'm an auntie to a lot of nieces and nephews. Because of my weight issues, I was never able to have babies. I'm 45 now, so having my own babies, that's not in the picture for me. But I remember being the auntie who the kids all would lay on my belly. They would lay on my belly and we would watch TV and we would eat. And I remember feeling so devastated and hurt because my sister would not allow me to take my nieces and nephews out in public. I was only allowed to be with them at the house. And I would get so hurt because I felt like, well, I'm a teacher. I'm an educator. I know how to take care of kids. I'm responsible. I'm a good person. But what my sister was so afraid of was, and I've heard you talk about this, was that someone was going to run up and snatch one of them and I couldn't chase them, or they were going to get away in a store and I couldn't go after them, or we were going to be walking down the street and they were going to step into the street and I couldn't run after them. And I remember so many nights going to sleep crying and also being angry at my sister, and projecting it onto her that it was her fault but she was being protective of her kids. And looking back now, I totally get it. Like, reality is that at that weight, at that limited of mobility, I could not have chased those kids down. I couldn't have. I remember teaching a class one day and I fell and I was on the ground for 45 minutes. I had to wait in front of a class of 30 freshmen. I had to wait for three men, security and staff, to come and help me get off the ground. And so had one of the kids gotten hurt, had something happened, I couldn't have gone after them. But I remember being so angry and completely devastated because I was not allowed to hang out with the kids. I wasn't allowed to do that. And then as my journey started to evolve and I started to gain my mobility back, one step at a time, like I said, starting out at 50 steps, 100 steps, as I started to gain my mobility back, I was able to bring my nephew to the marina with me, to go walking, to walk the dogs. I started to be able to go to, I remember the first time I went to his picnic lunch. I was still 400 something pounds and I struggled every step of the way. I brought my King Kong chair. That's what they call it, as a King Kong chair, because I knew I wasn't going to be able to sit on the little plastic ones. Mm-hmm. But I remember struggling, but I was able to do it. My sister came so that, you know, I couldn't watch him by myself, but I was able to go and be a part of that. And that was such a huge motivating factor for me. I wanted to be a positive role model. And I wanted to show my nieces and nephews that, look, hey, your tita went from being super unhappy, super depressed, super sad, and not being able to do all those things with you, to look at my tita has worked so hard and now she can do all the things. And it's so crazy now, because when I spend time with them, we're not sitting in front of the couch. We are running around. I play Nerf gun wars with mm-hmm. them. Like, I'm chasing them around the backyard. I have all of this energy. And they can see how happy I am. I'm not hyper focused on all the things I can't do anymore. And that's the beauty of this. We were talking a lot about this the last time we were together, that when you are severely overweight and sedentary, everything that you think about is consumed with how difficult moving your body is. You miss out on the present moments because you're so upset, stressed, anxiety, all the things. I'm present in the moment now. Mm-hmm. I may have to fly upstairs 100 times in a day to do something, but you know what? I can do it and I'm smiling and I can move my body with ease. It's taken me a long time to do that. But once you get there, you guys know I'm a crier too. And how many times have you seen me? Like, we're doing something every day and I start to cry and then like, what's wrong with you? I couldn't do this before.
Right.
I couldn't do mm-hmm. Your life expands in so many ways when you get up off the couch, when you make yourself continually do it. You know, there's something so beautiful about saving your own life.
It is. And I want to say, as I'm watching you talk, Teresa, it reminds me of what people say about our transformation photos. So you went from, you were talking about that dark place where you were in and people throwing food on you and your eyes were, your light was out a little bit as you talk about those moments, because that's how we felt. And then as you got to talking about things, how they laid on your belly, you're still a little bit dark. And then your smile, I love you so much. I'm just watching you because you tell this beautiful moments of how you went from getting food thrown on you and how I went from not fitting in a booth and being the biggest mom always and feeling so much. I felt less than. I wasn't less than, but I felt less than because of society and how society makes you feel. And then we talk about our transformation, this transformation we've made, mind, body, and soul, and our light comes on. And your light just come on as you got to the end of your story, what you were just telling. And I love that about you because I'm the same way. I can look back on photos, like I'm thinking in my mind of Zach's graduation pictures. I have no light in those pictures. I'm blank. Like, my face is blank. I have Kylie, Mila was born, and I was, I look at that picture all the time because I was at my biggest, and I was bigger than the hospital bed that she was in. I'm standing next to her in the hospital bed. She's laying down about to give birth, and it's me and my husband and her husband, and we're about to have our first grandchild. And everybody's face, they're smiling. Every picture of all of these occasions that we have, everyone is smiling. And I have a smile on my face, but my eyes are empty. I'm empty. And I look back on that picture now, and like I said, I'm bigger than the bed that she was laying in. And that's so embarrassing for me, but also at the same time, it's so empowering for me because I'm not now. That picture, I cannot tell you how many times I have struggled. I have been on the track. I have been in my house. I have been in my driveway, and I do not want to keep going. I maybe have been 2 miles, and I know I can do a hell of a lot more than 2 miles. I can. I will literally pull up that picture on my phone, and I will say to myself, mm-mm, no. And I will close my phone out, and I get it, and I'll bust it right there. I move my booty Judy, because that picture, I know it sounds so crazy, and it sounds like, oh, well, that's good, like, that's so good for me to hear, but how do I do it? That's exactly how you do it. You empower yourself to keep going. You prove to yourself that you can do it. Just like Teresa and I, she started out at 600 pounds having food thrown on her. I started out at over 400 pounds. I had never exercised in my life. Never. And now look at us. Every day we walk. Every day we move our bodies. I can't tell you how many times. Honestly, it's so funny to say, and I'll bring it up, Teresa, but I've even counted the calories I burn making love to my husband. There's been times I've been like, you know what? I'm not at 10,000 steps. Baby, hit that bed. we're getting in the bedroom. He's like, oh, let's go. Yes, we're getting 10,000 steps today. We're doing it. And I count the calories. I'm not even kidding. I count it. Like, everything that I can do before that I couldn't do back then, I want to do it because it feels so amazing. And your face right now says, like, me too. Because I know you. We've talked. I know the stories. Teresa's a freak. No.
So, you know, Tanya, oh my God, I love you. Yes. So if you don't know, I did not date. I was not able to engage in adult activities for more than 20 years of my life because I had adult activities. I had an apron. I had an apron stomach that went all the way down to my knees. So, you know, having sex, things like that was impossible for me. And one form of movement that, yes, since I've had my skin removal surgery and I've started dating 7 months ago, has been being able to be physically intimate. And I swear I've lost like 40 or 50 pounds since my boyfriend and I started dating because I'm like, I'm making up for lost time, right? I totally am. And it's the best feeling in the world. Like, you're talking about, like, this is one thing I want to say. I wish that we could take how we feel now, bottle it up, and give it to people who are at the beginning of their journey and be like, oh my God, this is how good it's going to get. And this is
like, just wait.
It's going to get so much better. And so okay, 600 pound Teresa, I didn't know. I've never felt happy like that in my entire life. I never felt the freedom of being present in the moment. So what I had to do was, every time my inner fat bee started to holler at me, I had to hold this image in my mind of this Teresa, okay? And the way that I did it was, I felt like, okay, I would imagine, what does your happiest Teresa look like? What does she feel like? How does she engage with the world? How does the world treat her? What are the kinds of things that she does? How does she dress? How does she live her life? And every time I wanted to give up, every time I didn't want to get up out of bed and move my body, I would visualize this version of me that you guys see. And I didn't know how to bring her about because I had never been this version of myself. So I created it in my mind. I would journal it. I would create affirmations. I would visualize. I would meditate on her. And slowly over time, she started to come to the forefront and my inner fat bee started to go back here. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just at the place now where I am present in the moment. The glow that you guys see in my face, in my eyes, is my heart and soul, because I have healed from within. The reflection, the physical changes are a reflection of the internal changes that I have made. And being able to, yes, make love with my boyfriend twice a day, smashing every day for 7 months, that would not be possible had I not changed, right? That's a form of movement that I encourage and I support. It feels amazing and I'm glowing because of it. I'm happy that I can do that. I used to go to bed every night crying and longing for that comfort, that closeness, the physical intimacy. And I thought for sure I was going to die never having sex. I'm like, this is great. I'm going to die dusty and never having done anything in my life. Dusty. You move your booty, Judy, and your body's going to be able to do a lot more things than you ever thought was possible, right?
Yeah, for sure. For me, as far as sexual intercourse, as Tracy says, she supports it. You heard it right here, ladies and gentlemen. She supports sexual intercourse. I'm laughing at this entire segment right here. But literally, with my husband, we've been together since I was 15, even at 15. So I was already obese. I shouldn't have said that, actually, now that I think about it. Let's talk about as an adult. Cut that part out. anyway, as an adult and being a morbid obese woman, okay, being an obese woman, we literally had sex the same way, always. I was a lights out kind of girl. I was an under the covers kind of girl. I was only take off what I needed to take off, which was the panties. Like, leave as many clothes on as I could. Honestly, that was me. I'm just, Teresa, you're laughing, but that's the truth.
I'm laughing because I can totally relate to that.
No, he was my husband, been together our whole lives, basically. We were high school sweethearts. I still was like, I don't even want him to look at me because I didn't want to look at me. Now, flip-flop completely, I'm like nude before we even get to the bedroom. Like the trail of clothes you see on the movie, that's me. Like, it's a trail of clothes, and he knows what's happening, and he knows it's going to be all kinds of different ways that we've never done before. And it's a, like, I know it's an adult conversation that we can have and not just get all giddy and laughing about it, but for real, like, I can do things in the bedroom that I never could have done before. I can do all the things that I necessarily have learned about, but didn't know that it was for me, because I couldn't do them physically. I could not move that way. And now I can. And so that's just another way. That's another way you can move your body. For me, I started it also with walking. It's intervals for me. I was obese and I could not walk a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, 5 miles like I can now. I started at 10-minute intervals a day. And I would walk around, I would set a timer, like Teresa said. I would walk around my island, walk around my table, the whole thing for 10 minutes, and then I would sit and I would rest. And then maybe around lunchtime, I would do the same thing again. Around dinner time, the same thing again. And so that's how I started. I would do 10-minute intervals. I would walk until I couldn't walk anymore or the timer went off. Sometimes I didn't make it to the timer. Sometimes I did. Now I don't have a timer. Now I get up and I walk and I wear my Fitbit and I track my steps. And like I said, I'm getting anywhere between 10 to 20,000, sometimes even more, probably more this past weekend while we were in Houston. But it's an amazing thing when you start moving your body and then you actually wake up and you're that person that you never knew, that you never thought you would be. And you would be like, I can't wait to walk. Like, that was never me before. But it is now. And I think it's an amazing thing. And that is strictly from determination. That is strictly from willpower, which is what you have to have on a weight loss journey.
Whether it's being able to attend different events, weddings, birthdays, going to work every day, going to the grocery store, being able to get down on the ground to play with the kids, going for walks, having the ability to have sex and be able to freely physically engage in all of the normal activities in your everyday life. All of those things are important and you are worthy of all of them. We all are. Tanya and I both were. And I know I spent my whole life feeling like I wasn't worthy of those things. And, you know, moving your body, if you can just start, find ways to track your movements, find ways to motivate yourself, join a community, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, whatever it is. Find ways that other people are moving their bodies. See what resonates with you and just start doing it. Learn how to battle your inner fat bee, because I promise you, even if you don't feel like it, you are stronger than that heifer. We
and you will win. Stronger.
Mm-hmm. You will win. Over time, you will gain the momentum. You will gain the strength. You will gain the energy, the life force that will help you fight for your own life. It's when you start, you don't feel that momentum, right? You don't feel that strength. You need to get the positive wave of life energy flowing through your body, through your mind, through your heart, and through your soul. And before you know it, you're going to be doing all the things just like Tanya and I, we do in our everyday life. This is not something that's unattainable for you. Because we have it does not mean that people look at us and they think, oh, you're so lucky you're doing this. No, we're not lucky. Mm-hmm. We have fought like hell to save our own lives. And you can do it too. And that's why we're sharing. Because we want you guys to know every little detail, every little way that we have used, things that we've used to help our lives, to improve our lives, to get our booties up and moving with Judy.
Right? Yeah, and it's obtainable for you. It's just willpower, you guys. Honestly, it's the old you versus the new you. It's for me every day thinking about my old ways and I never want to go back to that. And it's just being determined to prove to yourself that you can do it. It's a battle. Every day on a weight loss journey for me, it's a struggle. It's a battle. And, you know, who's going to win today? Is that old you going to win or the new you going to win? The new you that can do it all. You can do anything that you put your mind to. Teresa and I are literally living proof of that. If you put your mind to something and you really want to achieve it, you can, but you have to be consistent. You have to stay consistent every day. For me, it was stop making excuses. I made a lot of excuses when I was obese. You know, we're too busy and we can't afford it. Things like, I don't have time for that because I want to spend time with my kids. And so it was a little bit selfish. I thought it's not selfish to set aside time for you to work out because that is you setting aside time for you. And the more time that you make for you and the more time you make for your weight loss journey, for you to obtain your goals, the more successful you are going to be on your weight loss journey.
Self-love and self-care is not selfish in a bad way. It is necessary. That's right. If you want to be an active participant in your life and be able to enjoy your loved ones, your family, all those things, you have to be a little selfish when it comes to self-care and self-love. So we love you guys. We hope that in some way, shape, or form, we have shown you that moving your body is attainable, that it is possible no matter where you're beginning in your journey or where you are in your journey. Like, we've got you. We love you guys and we are so grateful.
Yes, we are. You guys, when you lose your excuses, you find your progress. And so you can follow us on social media. I'm Taking My Life Back at 42 on TikTok and Instagram. And I'm Tanya Spanglow on Facebook. Thank you so much for listening today. And we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys. We love you.
Love you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Transform Your Life podcast. And remember, your journey to a happier, healthier life starts with just one step. Together, we'll guide you towards sustainable weight loss, holistic wellness, and a renewed sense of vitality. Don't wait any longer to invest in yourself and unlock your true potential. Visit our website now to learn more and sign up for our Transformation Academy. Your future self will thank you. Let's transform your life together. Go and visit transformyourlifewithteresaandtanya.com, or you can go over to Instagram and check out our podcast page. The link is in our bio. Go do it now. Your future self is going to thank you.